Sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on hyperbaric oxygen therapy, right after this message. Well, are you concerned about your privacy? How much does your government know about you, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself, and that's because everything the government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you when your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it doesn't protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. And that's because information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how this information is gathered. It's knowing what information is stored and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. So always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for my free general law CD package? Now, that's a four-hour program. It's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational. Best of all, it's free of charge. All you have to do is call the school direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, tonight's program comes from The Money Changer. And The Money Changer, remember, is put out by Franklin Sanders. Money Changer, Post Office Box 178, West Point, Tennessee. The zip code is 38486. I recommend The Money Changer, which is an economics newsletter. This month's lead article deals with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I thought I'd share that with you because while I've heard this term, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and prior to Noah's flood, the oxygen content here on planet Earth was 38% oxygen. Today it's 21%. 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 1% other inert gases. What happened to the extra oxygen that was on planet Earth prior to the flood? Now, in case you're wondering how we knew that the oxygen content prior to the flood was 38%, it's because air is trapped in amber. That amber, when you break it open, you can do an analysis and find out, well, what was that air like? Well, that air was sealed off. And so amber samples oftentimes contain air samples, and all you have to do is measure it, and it's 38% oxygen. Now, those people were living several hundred years. And more than likely, that oxygen, no doubt with other factors, contributed to that longevity of life. Well, Dr. Glenn Wilcoxon, who is a medical doctor down in Alabama, has been working with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Franklin Sanders had this to say a few weeks ago. Susan and I went to Birmingham to take chelation treatments from our friend Dr. Glenn Wilcoxon. Over the years, I've written quite a bit about EDTA chelation therapy, and you can visit that on the website, moneychanger.com. For a long and technical interview with Dr. Elmer Cranton, C-R-A-N-T-O-N, or send us a 55-cent stamp self-addressed envelope for a copy. Now, chelation first came to my attention when a friend was diagnosed with heart blockage. The physician recommended a bypass operation, and my friend asked, well, what are the odds? And the physician replied that within 5 years, 85% of bypass patients either had died or they needed another bypass operation. So my friend demurred and began taking chelation. So after 15 more years of physically strenuous life, he finally died in 1999. We found out that Glenn was working with a new therapy called hyperbaric oxygen treatments. Hyperbaric simply means high pressure. And I wanted to share that information with you, so he kindly made time for me and this interview on November 1st, 2004. Now, Dr. Glenn Wilcoxon grew up in Florence, Alabama, and graduated from Birmingham Southern College and Alabama School of Medicine in 1970. For a number of years, he practiced anesthesiology, and in 1994, entered his present practice in allergy, bariatrics, chelation, degenerative diseases, nutrition, preventive medicine, prototherapy, restorative medicine, rheumatology, and Wilson's syndrome and yeast syndrome. Dr. Wilcoxon works in a clinic in Spanish Fort, Alabama, and also in Birmingham, Alabama. You can contact Dr. Wilcoxon at New Beginnings Medical Group, number 1 Timber Way, Spanish Fort, Alabama. I don't have a zip code. I got a phone number though. It's 888-403-0333. Interview begins with the money chamber, or money changer rather. What is hyperbaric oxygen therapy? And Dr. Wilcoxon answers, well, hyperbaric oxygen therapy might be a misnomer. At least in some cases, it doesn't use oxygen at a concentration greater than that of atmospheric oxygen. But pressure is always used, and it is measured in atmospheres, one atmosphere being 14.7 pounds per square inch at sea level. The hemoglobin in your red blood cells can only carry so much oxygen. The hemoglobin of most normal people at rest, if not at any great altitude, will be approximately 98% saturated with oxygen, and that's all that it's going to carry, 98%. Due to physical laws of pressure and fluids, under pressure, the liquid part of the blood absorbs oxygen also, proportional to the pressure that's put upon it. Now, that blood fluid will give up oxygen to cellular fluid, spinal fluid, and all of the fluids inside and outside of your body cells. And that is the major benefit of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. This extra oxygen supplies oxygen to cells that are not dead, but idling, cells that are not functioning, so that these cells can repair themselves. It also stimulates new blood vessel growth into the damaged area, and that's probably its most important effect, the growth of new blood vessels into damaged areas. Money changer. Well, why couldn't you just give extra oxygen to someone to breathe? And Dr. Wilcoxon responds, well, that would only affect the red blood cells, and it would not significantly affect the oxygen dissolved in the blood fluid. Money changer. What is a hyperbaric oxygen treatment? Dr. Wilcoxon responds, well, there are different treatment regimens, but mild pressures without added oxygen have proved the most beneficial treatment, especially in neurological disorders. The higher pressures and the added oxygen finally cause oxygen toxicity and reversal of symptoms in most cases. We use a very mild pressure chamber, that is 1.3 atmospheres using room air. Treatments usually last 1 hour. Depending on the ailment, as many as 40 treatments are recommended for the first treatment series. Money changer. Then it amounts to nothing more than lying in a chamber for a period of time under a mildly pressurized atmosphere. Is it even noticeable? Dr. Wilcoxon's answer, yes. When you go up and down hills or up and down in an airplane, you notice the pressure difference in your ears. That's all that you feel, although a few people have reported feeling more than that. It's equivalent to about 14 feet under seawater. Money changer. Well, how long has this been going on? How long has it been done? Wilcoxon's response, well, the first recorded time was Alexander the Great in 620 BC during his campaign against Tyre. Going down in a diving bell, he noticed that it exhilarated and energized him. Then it became reasonably popular in the 1600s among the Egyptians. For a long time, health cures have been claimed at the Dead Sea. Probably one of the great benefits of going there comes from its elevation, which is below sea level. The increase of atmospheric pressure is most likely one of the biggest causes. And again, in the 1870s and in the 1880s, there was a resurgence. And in the mid to latter 1920s, Orville Cunningham built large chambers that housed as many as 40 people for continuous pressurization and treated a multiplicity of complaints. He cured Mr. Timken of the Timken Bearing Company of renal failure. And later, Mr. Timken built him a $60 million hospital that accommodated 36 people. And it had an enclosed kitchen, study room, exercise room, and it was, of course, round in shape and very strange looking. Money changer. Well, what can you treat with hyperbaric oxygen? I thought renal failure was pretty much irreversible. Dr. Wilcoxon's response is, well, you'd think so. Since we began using the chamber, we have been surprised at how many conditions respond to this type of treatment. For example, a patient of mine who wanted a treatment just for the experience had suffered post-operative shoulder pain for about 9 months. After one treatment, only 1 hour in the chamber, his shoulder pain went away and it stayed away. Hyperbaric oxygen is most commonly used to treat complaints of the brain, spinal cord, and nervous system, although it will also lower blood sugar in diabetics and help high blood pressure. Now, that was another thing that they treated in the 1920s very successfully, was high blood pressure. Now, we need to focus on brain-injured children also. Out of every 1,000 children born, about 3 have cerebral palsy. Those on hyperbaric oxygen have an improvement rate of 90% and a claimed 50% cure rate. Money changer, 50%? Why don't they use it on every child with cerebral palsy then? Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, because then the hospital-owned chambers would be flooded with children and the insurance companies. And I'm sure they don't want to pay out all of the money to cure people who can only sit around in wheelchairs and drool on themselves. But about half of these cerebral palsy children after treatment will go from a wheelchair to playing soccer. Money changer. Oh, come on, Doc. There's something I don't understand here. You say that hyperbaric oxygen is used on a lot of neurological problems, but I thought one difficulty with neurological problems is that nerves do not regenerate. Wilcoxon's response, well, it will come to sharp focus sometime in the not-too-distant future when the brain is the most misunderstood organ in our bodies. They've taken children with microcephaly or small brains and put them in mild hyperbaric chambers and have actually seen their brains grow over time. There was an unusual case where a blast at a fire totally blinded a fireman, but after 51 treatments, his sight returned. In another case, a man paralyzed by a stroke for 17 years recovered full muscular strength and coordination in that side after 40 treatments. The brain has the ability, as does the liver and probably many other organs, to regenerate itself to a functional state. Now, we used to think that when people improved after a brain injury, that a different part of the brain was taking over that particular function. But it appears that that's not so. The brain actually regrows, and in a stroke, for example, a clot or damage to an artery restricts normal blood flow significantly and damages an area in your brain. Now, the cells do not actually die, well, at least not all of them. The majority of these cells remain alive, but they remain in an idling mode. And when you provide them with increased oxygen and blood vessel growth, it brings new oxygenation to that area of your brain. Then they resume functioning and they work just as well as they did before the damage. Money changer. Well, I'm having a problem accepting this idea. People with brain damage, like a stroke or an injury after undergoing a series of hyperbaric oxygen treatments, have actually experienced what appears to be regeneration of those functions. Wilcoxon's response, that's right. That's correct. Money changer. Then I have to ask the obvious question. Why doesn't every doctor have one of these hyperbaric chambers in his office? Why doesn't every hospital have 20 of them? Dr. Wilcoxon. Well, eventually, they probably will. Not for the healing of mankind, however, but for the money that they generate. Now, how much money is needed to provide health care of a stroke or cerebral palsy victim? Well, it's $500,000 to $1 million over their lifespan. Now, if you compare the cost of a series of hyperbaric oxygen treatments, it's much, much less expensive. 40 treatments will cost about $4,000 to $8,000, depending on what chamber you're using and who is administering it, and whether you purchase the chamber and take it home with you, and then resell it later when you no longer need it. You see, hyperbaric oxygen costs far less, just as chelation costs much less than coronary bypass surgery. Eventually, such care will catch on, but not now, because there's too much money involved in cerebral palsy and stroke victims. It's much more profitable to treat the effect than to cure the effect. Money changer. Of course, or a course of chelation therapy costs how much, Doc? Wilcoxon response. Well, with supplements, it'll run around $5,000 to $6,000, depending on the patient's initial condition. Money changer. Well, bypass surgery costs $50,000 to $100,000, and Wilcoxon, well, maybe $75,000 to $150,000, depending on the complexity of the particular coronary problem. Money changer. And 5 years after bypass surgery, typically 85% of those patients either have to have another bypass surgery or they're dead. Wilcoxon. That's true. And add something else to that. You see, if you took that same group of people who had undergone bypass surgery and gave them medicine, that is just pills alone, they would do just as well as with those who have had the bypass surgery. Money changer. Are you implying something altogether scandalous, almost too cruel to comprehend? Take both things together, hyperbaric oxygen and chelation, and assume they really do work as well as you say they do. What you're implying here, doctor, is that most medical practitioners in the United States today are treating their patients in a way that actually harms them, rather than using a cheaper, more effective, more efficient treatment that would help them. Dr. Wilcoxon's response. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Money changer. No, I know, but people tend to say, no, I know my doctor, and he wouldn't do anything like that. People probably respect their doctors more than they do their clergymen. Dr. Wilcoxon's response. But back up and think about this for a minute. If you cure a patient, you lose that patient. Money changer. Yes, I know, but that's so cynical, nobody would stand for it. Dr. Wilcoxon's response. Well, yes, But you know as well as I do that the patient is told to come back and see me next month. And the doctor does that month after month. The doctor never says to a patient, not, I'll see you later and let me know if you have any problems. The doctor, when he finishes with you, he schedules you back for follow-up appointment so that he can check and see if everything's all right. That's another doctor's office. That's another doctor's visit. That's another $25 to $50. Plus, every time you come back to the doctor, you have a new complaint. Or the doctor discovers some new problem that requires some new medication. It's a revolving door in medical practice. Money changer. Will two things work against people believing your claims for chelation or hyperbaric oxygen treatments? They reason that it couldn't really be that good because if it were that good and if it was that cheap, then why doesn't everybody use it? And then they research it and discover that chelation practitioners like the great Dr. Evers have been persecuted, hounded through the courts, prosecuted, and in some cases even jailed. And they conclude, obviously, the American Medical Association and the Food and Drug Administration and government authorities are out to protect us. So your claims are all bogus. Your claims cannot be true. Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, let's take each one of the groups that you're talking about and see what they do and what they do not do. You see, no cardiovascular surgeon is going to give somebody a simple $5,000 IV treatment when he can get $20,000 to $40,000 for performing an operation. And it's simple. It just wouldn't pay for their lifestyle. Let's be intelligent. And what about the insurance companies? You see, the insurance companies pay for these operations. Now, wouldn't the insurance company benefit from a vastly cheaper treatment? Well, insurance companies charge all men as if they were going to have bypass surgery because the statistics say that when a man has a heart attack or has heart trouble, he's going to need bypass surgery. So believe it or not, though, only about 50% of men will have heart trouble. In half of that 50% that do have heart trouble, their first symptom of heart trouble is DEAD, D-E-A-D. So there's no bypass surgery to be performed there. Of the 50% that made it to the hospital, half of those will be treated with medicine only. So that leaves only 12.5% total male population that will ever receive bypass surgery. However, the insurance companies treat the entire male population as if they were destined for a heart attack. And then after they have the heart attack, they are then destined for bypass surgery. And they charge all men the premiums accordingly. So from that 12.5%, I calculated that a $750 monthly premium to Blue Double Cross would cost only $27 a month if chelation were widely used instead of bypass surgery. Well, now, listen, you can't even process the paperwork for $27 a month, so that's out the window. There is no money in chelation for insurance companies or the medical profession, and that's why it isn't used. It's not used because it's not profitable. Well, what about pharmaceutical companies then? They treat symptoms. They don't cure people. So by and large, except for antibiotics and a couple of other things that they learned early on, that to cure a patient is to lose a patient. So the pharmaceutical companies have developed drugs that treat symptoms. They do not treat disease. They treat symptoms. They don't have a drug that treats atrial fibrillation other than the symptoms, and that's rat poison to keep the blood clots from forming. So the pharmaceutical companies always benefit either way. Okay, now let's take a look at the hospitals. If you close down the cardiovascular wing of your local hospital anywhere in the United States, except for the acute situations, and that's what bypass and stents are good for, then although I don't have any sound documentation about this, I predict that over 50% of the hospitals in the United States would close their doors because cardiovascular wings are the rainmakers for hospitals. That's where the big money is. Heart attack and stroke is where the big profits lie. Money changer. But do you see why, from the layman's point of view, the claims of chelation and other alternative therapies seem so preposterous? Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, thou knowest too much. Or as Shakespeare once observed, thou knowest too much, methinks thou dost protesteth too much. Think about it. You know that the general population, both secular and Christian, says, give me a pill and fix it and I'll be gone. They're in a great hurry. Americans are in a big hurry. They haven't found that pill yet, but everybody's still in a hurry. The same arguments come up. If it's so good, then why isn't everybody doing it? And that's simply because nobody ever looks into it. Nobody ever spends the time to research it, although the internet has helped quite a bit, at least information-wise. In this practice, we have found that we can advertise to the hilt, but we don't get any patients. So if I go out and advertise chelation or hyperbaric chamber therapy, I can advertise and spend thousands of dollars and get zero results. So why should I advertise? It's a waste of money. And it's simply because the American Medical Association, the American Cancer Society, the big names, when they advertise, and when you watch television, everything that you see on television that deals with medicine, like the ER, is aimed at a quick fix right now. That's what Americans want to buy. Americans do not want to eat a healthy diet. They want to eat what tastes good, and then they want a pill or an operation to fix the problem later. It's the American way. However, the patient who has benefited from chelation or hyperbaric will tell someone else. So our advertisement is all word of mouth. It's the independent thinkers that come to us. Only two kinds of people come in here for treatment: the desperate and the smart. Sometimes they're one and the same person. Money changer. Well, a couple of years ago, there was an establishment chelation study that lasted several years and concluded that chelation was not effectuous. Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, there have been several of those studies, and the National Institute of Health is doing one right now. Now, what happens in those studies is that they either tweak the results to show that it doesn't benefit, or they blatantly misuse the protocols. The ACAM, that is the American College for the Advancement of Medicine, is our sanctioning and educational body, and they prescribe a particular protocol for chelation. And if you don't use that protocol, you won't get as good a result. And why is that? Well, a dog with three legs cannot run as fast as a dog with four legs. So you've got to do it correctly, and anybody can do it wrong. The National Institute of Health is not using the exact protocol in this current study, but they're closer than they have been before, and that's why prior studies have failed, and they will always fail. You see, it was the American Medical Association back in the 1960s that discovered chelation therapy, and they thought, gosh, this will be a great boon to medicine. But they found out that while it might be a great boon to medicine, it was a killer to profits. Chelation therapy is a cheap, effective methodology for dissolving the plaque out of your arteries. After it was discovered, and it was found that it ruins profits, the American Medical Association has done everything in its power for the last 50 years to discredit chelation in favor of surgery or pharmaceuticals. It's just money. It's nothing personal. Well, hang on. Let's take a little break here, and we'll come back, and we'll take a look at the conclusion here of Dr. Glenn Wilcoxon on hyperbaric oxygen therapy. This interview is conducted by, or was conducted by, Franklin Sanders, and it's recorded in its entirety in the Money Changer for November 2004. It's in the November 2004 edition of the Money Changer. You can get a copy of it from Post Office Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, the zip code 38486. The phone number, 888-218-9226. Again, that's area code 888-218-9226. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. Surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity, from bank deposits to medical visits, has produced greater efficiency and security, all right. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. The federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American, according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. A study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems containing 10,799 categories of information about New York residents. And every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, all of this information about you is gained from 63 sources. This information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for? Well, knowing how this information is gathered, knowing how this information is stored, and knowing what information that you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Technology works both ways, like a sharp, two-edged sword. It can be used to gain information about you, or it can be used to keep information about you from somebody else. For more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. And I'll tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, send me an email. That's georgegordon.org. That's the website. Just click onto the email machine when you get there. And then send your email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, tonight's program, the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, an interview done by Franklin Sanders. It's reported in the Money Changer for November 2004. Well, the Money Changer asks, for whom would hyperbaric oxygen treatments be appropriate? Or to whom might they offer some relief? Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, starting with cerebral palsy, children with any kind of neurological deficit from birth or caused by a birth problem, adults with a neurological problem such as a brain injury or a stroke or ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, or multiple sclerosis, have shown great benefit from hyperbaric treatments, as well as any toxic encephalopathy such as Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, or being exposed to chemicals. The general statistics imply that it will help about 90% of all neurological cases and that it will cure about 50%. Money Changer. Well, when you tell me that it's like slapping me in the face, why isn't it used? Hyperbaric oxygen is perfectly suited for healthcare facilities where they take care of Alzheimer's patients. Well, then why aren't they using it there? Dr. Wilcoxon. Well, no, it's suited for home use. You see, if patients come to me who live more than 50 miles away, what would I do? Well, first of all, I would educate and train them in the use of the chamber and procure a chamber for them at the best price that I can find. Or you can go find a hyperbaric changer or hyperbaric chamber at the best price that you can find. Then you can take that chamber home and use it until you reach the neurologic or physical improvement that you want. And then I'll resell the chamber for them, or you can go resell your own chamber. That cuts their cost of treatment by about 50%, plus the danger of traveling on the highways and staying in motels and eating out and so on. Money Changer. Well, all of the conditions that you've named are primarily neurological problems, aren't they? Wilcoxon, yes. Although diabetes and hypertension also benefit from hyperbaric and probably other conditions that we don't know about. Right now, we are riding the crest of a wave. It's a sharp crest. Chelation therapy is an old wave that has already crested, but it's still a wave. Hyperbaric therapy is a sharp edge of a brand new wave. Money Changer. What do you mean by a new wave? You mentioned Alexander the Great, the 1600s and the 1920s, so hyperbaric therapy is not really new, is it? Wilcoxon's response. Well, the method of treatment is new. The pressures and the percentage of oxygen is new. You know, the American way of thinking says more is better, but not in this case. You see, a medium amount is the best thing in hyperbaric therapy. One Russian physician treating at 1.1 atmospheres has received very good results. Money Changer. And you use 1.3 atmospheres with atmospheric oxygen content of about 21%. Wilcoxon's response. Well, except for surgical and diagnostic technological advancement, modern medicine stopped about 1930. Money Changer. What about autism? Do you accept the theory that the tiny amount of mercury used as a preservative in childhood vaccinations causes autism? Wilcoxon. Well, too much material correlates the two to ignore it. So in my view, that's yes, it does. It might be the mercury alone, or it might have something to do with the maturity of the child's immune system, but there's got to be a connection there somewhere. Now, two of my patients could not talk 2 weeks after receiving the MMR, that's the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. They were between 3 and 4 years old. Money Changer. Now you're bumping into another one of those conceptual brick walls that people live behind. They believe that if they don't vaccinate their children, they will surely die a horrible death from measles. Do I need to go on? When you tell people that they ought to think twice about vaccinating their children, you run into a lot of resistance. Dr. Wilcoxon. Well, the internet has lots of information about vaccinations and organizations against vaccination, and there's a high correlation between vaccination and poor immune systems and autism. Now, that's not to say that all vaccinations are bad. We wiped out smallpox and polio with vaccinations. But just because one vaccination is good doesn't mean that all vaccinations are good. Money Changer. Well, statistically, if you vaccinate 100,000 people, some number of them are going to die. Isn't that true? Well, Dr. Wilcoxon, he said, well, I was just listening to a news report on anthrax vaccination. United States soldiers are required to take these vaccinations for anthrax, even though it's still considered experimental. They're experiencing a lot of complications from those vaccinations, and it appears to be infecting even the soldiers' families with something. Now, someone is trying to pass a law that soldiers cannot be forced to take this anthrax vaccination, and I agree with that. Forcing people to undergo medical treatment is the worst sort of tyranny. Money changer. Well, speaking of vaccines, Doc, there's a big uproar about flu vaccine right now, especially among older people. And I've read that thimerosal, a mercury compound used to preserve the vaccine, increases the likelihood that those vaccinated will develop Alzheimer's disease. What do you think about that? Wilcoxon's response, well, either in combination with aluminum or by itself, I think that mercury is the primary cause of Alzheimer's disease. Money changer. How widely available is hyperbaric oxygen therapy in the United States? Dr. Wilcoxon. Well, now we're in Spanish Fort, Alabama, near Mobile, and the nearest chambers are 250 miles away in Metairie, Louisiana, somewhere in eastern Georgia, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There are not very many of them around, at least not very many of them around that are being operated by doctors and clinicians. Money changer. Are hyperbaric chambers that complicated to install? Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, no, they're actually very simple. It's a highly reinforced plastic bag in 21, 27, or 32-inch diameters. The 32-inch diameter hyperbaric plastic chamber will hold two people. It's not a metal tank, but it is very strong, and it must be very strong because we're producing almost 5 pounds of pressure per square inch. So even the little window on the top of the chamber is under 800 pounds of pressure, and it's only 1/100th of the chamber's surface area. So there's a lot of pressure in it. You get the chamber, the compressor, and the relief valve set to an exact pressure. So if you can open your refrigerator and pull out milk, then you can probably operate one of these hyperbaric chambers. Money changer. Well, so cost and complicated technology is not what keeps hyperbaric chambers from being installed all over America. Dr. Wilcoxon's response, well, most hyperbaric chambers used in hospitals are made of metal. They reach up to 3 atmospheres and 100% oxygen, and oftentimes they hold 3 or more people. They cost about $2 to $10 million per unit, so they charge $1,200 to $1,600 an hour for their use. Now, that's the primary roadblock to insurance companies paying for these treatments. You see, until portable chambers came along about 10 years ago, only the big expensive metal chambers were available. Money changer. Well, what are hyperbaric's possible drawbacks or side effects? Dr. Wilcoxon. Well, so far we found none with the mild pressure chamber. If it blew out, for example, which none that I've ever has done, it wouldn't hurt you. It would make your ears pop. It'd probably scare the living bejesus out of you, but it wouldn't cause any damage. If one of the larger chambers blew out, you could get the bends. At 3 atmospheres, it would be like going underwater and then coming up too fast. Well then, why have people kept on using the big expensive chambers? Because they have believed that high pressure and elevated oxygen would cure chronic problems. If a little bit's good, more has got to be a whole lot better. But they don't. High pressure and high oxygen concentration can bring on quicker cures for burns and wounds and crush injuries. That's true. That's where it's needed. But for acute, not chronic diseases. You see, for chronic diseases, you cannot use high pressure. High pressure is for acute traumatic injury. Injuries such as burns, injuries from car wrecks, and things like that. For chronic diseases, you cannot use high pressure and high oxygen, or you will wind up with a reversal of symptoms. In other words, we find that low pressure works much better. Money changer. Why is that? Dr. Wilcoxon. Well, suppose a cerebral palsy child's brain under treatment began to develop, and he became coordinated. What if he could speak well and isn't spastic any longer? If you treat him with high pressure and high oxygen, hoping to improve him even more, he'll start becoming spastic again and uncoordinated again, and then he can't walk. And why is that? Well, it's because the high pressure and the high oxygen cause spasms in the arteries and failure to grow. The mild pressure, on the other hand, has accurately been described as a chamber where you can spend the rest of your life without doing any harm. The money changer. So you can't tell on the outset that it will help. You just have to try it, knowing that will probably help 90% of the people, about 90% of the time, and you have to be patient through a long series of treatments. How often do you take these treatments? Well, Dr. Wilcoxon, well, several of the physicians that have used the mild chambers for more than 10 years recommend 1 hour twice a day. But I have several patients that have received more benefit staying in it for 2 hours at a time. You cannot overtreat yourself. Your body can only grow new blood vessels and brain cells so fast at a certain rate. How fast that is, we do not know. And it may vary between individuals. So pushing the envelope will not damage you, but it may not cause things to happen any faster either. Now you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The opinions, the beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of the network, or of this individual radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Tonight's report from the Money Changer, published by Franklin Sanders, Post Office Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, the zip code 38486. Telephone number is 931-722-3135. Again, that's area code 931-722-3135, or toll free 888-218-9226. Again, that's 888-218-9226. Remember, we recommend the Money Changer as well as the Privateer to economics newsletters. Primarily, Franklin Sanders is in the economics business. He sells gold and silver coin and publishes the newsletter, and he also writes books and does other nifty little things. If you'd like to learn more about Franklin Sanders and the Money Changer, he always comes up with something new. I mean, every month there's an article in here, Ceausescu is dead, long live Ceausescu, an article on a guy that was a Romanian dictator for 40 years in Romania. And he always ties these stories together with economics. These are the conservative economics of the Austrian school of economics, not the liberal Keynes variety of economics, which was promoted by Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal and the Fair Deal and the Democrats and Republicans. This month's lead article is on hyperbaric chambers. Now, a number of you have written to me, and you've got neurological diseases and disorders, autism or some other neurological problem. And one of the things that has always been taught to me, at least I've always heard, is that these neurological diseases are untreatable. There's nothing you can do about them. If you've got a neurological problem, you're just going to have to live with it. Well, evidently, Dr. Wilcoxon here says, no, that's not true. And I'd heard about these hyperbaric chambers, but I never looked into it, never paid much attention to it. So if you'd like a copy of this article, it's the November 2004 Money Changer. And I think if you write or call Sanders, he'll send you one of those. I don't know what the price is going to be. I don't even know what the price of this newsletter is, to be honest with you. You'll have to call and ask. It's not very much. And if it was $200 or $300 a year, it would be worth the $200 or $300 a year. It comes out monthly. Monthly newsletter. The conclusion is, the Money Changer asks the question, then low pressure is the key to making the treatment effective. And Wilcoxon's response is, well, they call it a medium pressure chamber. Yes, for chronic disease, that's the answer. Money Changer, if 1.3 atmospheres is not low pressure, what do they call low pressure? Dr. Wilcoxon, well, 1.1 atmospheres or even less. Money Changer, well, pressures that low produce an effect. Wilcoxon, well, the Russian physicians using 1.1 atmospheres of pressure documented improvement in her study presented to the second annual International Hyperbaric Organization 2 years ago. Money Changer, is there a national hyperbaric organization? And Wilcoxon's response, well, there are three main organizations that support or recommend hyperbaric treatment for chronic diseases, especially for children. A lady who had a brain-injured child found out about hyperbaric treatment and treated the child, and the child improved. She was so compassionate that she started an organization for informational purposes. It's easy to share her vision. To reverse disabilities in the young and the old would save the nation tremendous amounts of money and give great relief to primary caregivers, for example, the families, and return people to a happy, useful life. The Money Changer, well, thank you very much, Dr. Wilcoxon. Dr. Glenn Wilcoxon can be contacted at number one. Let me back up here. It's the New Beginnings Medical Group. He has a clinic. It's called New Beginnings Medical Group. It's number one Timber Way, Spanish Fort, Alabama. Telephone number is 888-403-0333. Once more, that's area code 888-403-0333. Now, that's for Dr. Wilcoxon. Remember, the Money Changer is located at Post Office Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, the zip code 38486. Two telephone numbers there, 931-722-3135. Again, that's area code 931-722-3135, or toll free 888-218-9226. That second number again for the money changer is 888-218-9226. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events from the scriptural perspective, of course, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are believed to be true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and often we endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listening audience. Now, the endorsements or the recommendations that we give does not necessarily mean that the authors or the publications that we recommend or endorse are going to reciprocate. Sometimes they give a very bad report about the Law Hour. Now, most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, or sectarian. Sometimes they're racial or ethnic partisans, and they do not endorse the opinions or the beliefs expressed here on the Law Hour and the editorial review. So if you run into that, don't let that bother you. Just because somebody has a bad word about me doesn't mean I necessarily have a bad word about them. You'll notice here that Dr. Will Coxon pointed out very poignantly here that there's no money for the medical profession in hyperbaric chambers or in chelation. Now, he's a chelation therapist, and he's into this hyperbaric chamber therapy. I've gone through the chelation program myself. It worked very effectively for me, and I would recommend it to anybody. Just word of mouth, of course. And the chelation therapy clinics are all over the United States. We have one here in Springfield, in Missouri. There's one in St. Louis, one in Kansas City. Usually in the big cities, you'll find a chelation therapy center. All right, I'm about out of time. And because I'm about out of time, we have to leave you with this reminder. You've been listening with the Law, or listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Law School, the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide on the Internet. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's a signal that says my time is up. We've got to leave it right there. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.